Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletins. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the gospel. The book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 835 in your pew Bible or page 252 in the story Bible. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for our children's time. If you're joining us online, I invite you to come just a little bit closer to the screen, but come and let's have some time together. Good morning. Oh my goodness, I love it. Good morning, guys. Great to see all of you. Keep on coming. There's lots of room up here. There's lots of room. Yeah. I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. Thank you for coming up here and sitting with your friends and sitting with us pastors up here. We get kind of lonely sometimes sitting up here in the front, and so we're glad that you get to come and be a part of this up here. I want to start out today by making a statement. I'm going to look at each one of you, and I want to tell you that you are good at something. You are good at something. Has anybody ever told you that? Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully your mom and your dad and your grandparents have looked at you and seen the artwork you've done or how well you play soccer or baseball or whatever it is that you do. They look and they say, "You are so good at that." What I want you to know is that God is saying that exact same thing to you. You are good at something. And you know why you're good at something? Because I made you to be good at something. One thing that we learn in our scripture today is that Jesus got up and said, "This is what I am good at. This is what God has called me to do." And I want to encourage each one of you that God has called each one of you to do something really special so that other people can know how much that God loves them. So as you're in Sunday school today, as you're in children's church, as you're in your times of prayer and talking to your friends and your parents, I want you to wonder to yourself, what is it that I can do to help other people know how much God loves them? And I want you to tell yourself just what God is telling you. I am good at that. Can you do that? All right, let's say a prayer together. God, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for our opportunity to be here. God, we thank you for the reminder that we are good at so many different things, and we are good at them because you made us that way. God, help us to love others around us and help us to show them the love that you have for them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If you are 3, 4, or 5 or in kindergarten, you can go with Pastor Maggie. That's so great. You get to go to children's church and everybody else go back and sit with your friends. That's awesome. I had a big group here this morning. Thank you all so much for coming up. I was in my early 30s when I began literally to wake up to the question about my vocation. By all appearances, things were going By all appearances, things were going well, but the soul does not put much stock in appearances. Seeking a path more purposeful than accumulating wealth, holding power, winning at competition, or securing a career, I had started to understand that it is indeed possible to live a life other than one's own. Fearful that I was doing just that, but uncertain about the deeper, truer life I sensed hidden inside me, uncertain whether it was real or trustworthy or within reach, I would snap awake in the middle of the night and stare for long hours at the ceiling. Then I ran across the old Quaker saying, "Let your life speak." I found those words encouraging, and I thought I understood what they meant. Let the highest truths and thought I understand, let the highest truths and values guide you. Live up to those demanding standards in everything you do. Because I had heroes at the time who seemed to be doing exactly that, this exhortation had incarnate meaning for me. It meant living a life like that of Martin Luther King Jr. or Rosa Parks or Mahatma Gandhi or Dorothy Day, a life of high purpose. So I lined up the loftiest ideals I could find and set out to achieve them. The results were rarely admirable, often laughable, and sometimes grotesque. But always, they were unreal, a distortion of my true self, as must be the case when one lives from the outside in, not from the inside out. I had simply found a noble way to live a life that was not my own, a life spent imitating heroes instead of listening to my heart. As we hear these words from Parker Palmer this morning, I think many of us can identify with his struggle that he expresses. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the question, who is calling you? Palmer names for us some of the ways that we go about attempting to answer that question, trying to identify the truth behind every voice that is in our lives. Which ones do we give our attention to? Which ones connect with who we are? Which ones offer a glimpse of life, of a life lived well? And which ones take us down a path of self-doubt or unhappiness? I love how he identifies the struggle even when the external voices are what we would perceive as good. Who better to live up to than Gandhi and MLK? His book that this passage comes from is one about his journey to find that vocation, to find that thing within him that guides him. As Frederick Buechner defines it, vocation is that place where our passions and the needs of the world meet, where they come together. It's that thing that is our deepest sense of self. It's that something that simply we cannot do. Our body won't let us not do. Let me rephrase that. Palmer goes on to say that we find those passions by listening to the very core of who we were created to be. In our scripture passage today, I believe that Jesus is taking the opportunity to reveal to the world his passion, his vocation. It's a passion that is directly connected to who he is, and it is an expression of trust in where God is leading him. The story in Luke directly follows Jesus' journey into the wilderness, which comes right after his baptism by John. The journey Jesus took of being claimed by God and taking the time to come to terms with who he is and how he is to live out his ministry brings him to that moment where he must declare for himself and to the people crowding around him what his calling is and who he is here to serve. I think it's important that this moment takes place in his hometown. He's surrounded by people who would feel they know him best. They know his parents. Some of them saw him grow up. For me, it would almost be like going back to my high school reunion. Thoughts would be racing through my mind, wondering what they're thinking about me and the path that I chose to take in life. Moment of confession. The reason I worry is because I'm thinking the same thing about them. If I'm thinking these things, What are they thinking about me? Jesus, no doubt, had similar types of thoughts running through his mind. The story we read last week about Jesus turning water into wine, among potentially many other accounts, may have been the ones that the townsfolk heard about what Jesus was doing. They wondered if they had heard those stories correctly. Joseph's son did what? God spoke out loud to him? I think I may have to see that for myself. It's this environment that Jesus comes back to, and it is where he determines to make his declaration. Surrounded by hearts that at the same time were amazed and likely doubting, I like to think that Jesus in this moment remembered the words spoken over him at his baptism. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. As we self-reflect, as we take the time on our own journey to search for that next right step in our lives, my prayer is that we will return to that same place that Jesus did, to the waters of baptism. For it's in that place that our belovedness is also proclaimed. Listen to the words from our United Methodist Baptismal Liturgy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through the water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. These words of adoption into the family of God guide us along the path to recognize that inner voice that helps us to find that uniqueness, which leads us to our vocation, our path to working alongside God in a way that reflects the beauty we have as God's creation. And it's this knowledge of God's blessing over us that allows us to hear Jesus' statement and to make the claim that those are ours as well. The words Jesus reads to the synagogue that day are not inconsequential. Coming from the prophet Isaiah, they speak of someone being anointed to proclaim God's favor for those by who all rights probably feel they do not live within God's favor. As we read about Jesus claiming and proclaiming this as his mission, that inner voice, the Spirit speaking to us, reminds us that we are to be about the love of God and neighbor. I'm sure each of us, whether in a literal or a metaphorical sense, can find ourselves described in who Jesus says he is called to serve. Knowing the blessing of being claimed by the God of the universe, we come to recognize a desire to ensure that those around us experience that same sense of claim. What that looks like for each of us is up to us to discover. It's unique to who we are as God's living creation. And I think that's important for us to keep in mind. God doesn't desire for us to be blind followers or automatons, but co-laborers. In the creation narrative in the book of Genesis, the writer says that God breathed the breath of life into humanity. God didn't just put batteries in us and turn us on. God breathed God's life-giving breath into us. We are made to have the Spirit of God living within us, empowering us to do some pretty amazing things for the sake of the flourishing of God's people. When I think about it like that, it gives me goosebumps. It makes me excited to find that next step where God is leading me, and excited to share that with those people around me, with you, with my family, with my friends. There's a bravery in proclaiming our vocation to the world. As you would notice in the verses after what we read today, you'll see how the people in his hometown reacted to his words spoken about them. They tried to throw him off a cliff. Listening for that inner voice to lead us does not promise a worry-free life. God offers us an abundant life, but not necessarily a secure one. We have enough interaction with our world to know that there are people who faithfully live their calling out in this world, yet today struggle with food insecurity, low wages, emotional distress, warfare right on their front porch, homelessness, and pain at the hands of power-hungry people. Bravery is living into our vocation in the midst of those difficulties and strains. When we're called to proclaim release, favor, and healing for those who are marginalized or persecuted, we may be called to live in community with them, suffering just as they do. We may be called to plead for mercy towards them from those who are in power. We may be called to stand in solidarity with those who may be cruelly deported or find ourselves in the position between a gun and the student in our schools. As Jesus would show us through his life and death, celebrating the presence of God with us and living with the hope of God's promised kingdom becomes our abundant life, even as we experience hardship and pain. So who's calling you? My hope is that as you hear God's Spirit deep down inside of you, calling to your true self, to discover your talents and gifts, to find the passions and to live them out. In the words of Parker Palmer, discovering vocation does not mean scrambling towards some prize just beyond my reach, but accepting the treasure of true self I already possess. Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling me to be something I am not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth. As we journey together, let's return, or for some of us, let's come for the first time to the waters of baptism and hear God's voice proclaiming to us our belovedness. And then let's claim the path. Let's claim that vocation that leads us on. Let your life speak of who you are, who God made you to be, and who God's Spirit calls you to become. Amen. Today we get to, Today we get to celebrate those who have journeyed on a path of self-discovery and feel led to make the next step in connection to our community. At the end of the 11 o'clock service, we will welcome two individuals who have come into our community and who wish to live out their faith connected to this place, connected to us. We are also celebrating members of the church who have accepted the invitation to become a part of the leadership of this church community. In their search for a place to serve, these individuals have recognized that part of their vocation, part of their passion, is to assist our congregation in caring for this place and being a part of the work God calls us to do. They bring their gifts to bear for the benefit of God's kingdom. Pastor Carol will now lead us into this moment of prayer and consecration for them and for all of us as we seek God's guidance to remain faithful to the call to love God and neighbor.